Good morning, everyone. I greet you all in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. I've been richly blessed again this morning being here. Thank you, youth, for sharing those songs. You know, my wife and I, we can say the same thing. It was back, I think, in 2005 at Harlan Tent Meetings. We were driving there in our horse and buggy, and there's a whole load of people came out from Pennsylvania, and there were a bunch of young people there that were singing that really ministered to us and put a desire in our hearts. You know, we had two small, our daughters were 4 and 5 at that time. Today they're married. But it put a desire in our hearts. This is right. This is what we want. And so I encourage you, youth, be faithful. Endure until the end. Because, you think you're young, but it ministers to people's hearts. It truly does. So, thank you. I had a thought this morning as we were in the prayer room. I was blessed with. We gather. The scripture says in 2 Corinthians that we are a sweet savor of Christ to them that are saved. And I just had to think, everyone that's been born again by the Spirit of God, they walk in this building this morning, and each one is bringing a fragrance of Christ. And so the more people you have, the greater the fragrance should be in this room. And, if you walk into a garden flower, a flower garden that, especially in the spring where there's a lot of lilacs, there's a fragrance there. You can smell it and you can see them, and it's a beauty. And I think that's the way it should be on a Sunday morning. Everyone walks in and has the fragrance of Christ within them. And it should be and it's invigorating and it's a blessing. How many of you have been invigorated and blessed this morning already? It's because of the fragrance of Jesus Christ. And so let's keep that in mind. So before we begin, let's rise for a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we come before you this morning. We thank you and bless you for this morning. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings upon us this morning already. Thank you for ministering to my heart. And I trust, Lord, that you have been ministering to every heart here this morning. And Lord, I pray that you would continue to minister to our hearts, that you would continue to meet us here, Lord, and pray that you would take the few words you have laid upon my heart, Lord, and minister life to them, anoint them, give them unction, and may you be glorified and honored. Lord, we invite your presence. We pray you fill this place with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you also for the opening, Brother Uriah, and the children's lesson. Thank you for all those, I had to think, God designed those turkey buzzards for a certain thing, and that's to clean up the earth. What would happen to you and I if we would eat what they eat? We would die. But God created them for a purpose, and he created you and I for a purpose. So he created them to clean up the earth, to keep the earth clean. So thank God for turkey buzzards, or else it'd be a stenchful place. So, but God has given them an acid or some kind that neutralizes the poisons that are in those dead bodies. And so God designed them to be able to do that. So everything we see in this world is designed to bring God glory and honor And humanity is the only one that has a choice in the matter. Everything else does it automatically. But you and I, we have a choice in the matter. We have a choice to seek God's face like we heard. So the choice is yours. So today I've titled the message, Laying Up Treasures in Heaven. Laying Up Treasures in Heaven. And I just want to be up front here. You know, as I share the message here, a person needs, before you can lay up treasures in heaven, a person needs to be born again by the Spirit of God. And it's something that, you know, should come naturally because you have been made partakers of God's divine nature. It's not just something I try to do to hope to gain brownie points, but it should be something that comes naturally because the Spirit of God dwelleth within you. So I'm going to read some different passages here. If you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 12. Now I'm going to read verse 15 through 21. And then we'll jump down and read a couple more verses in the same chapter. Verse 15. Maybe I should just back up to verse 13. Here, and one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me judge or divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully, and he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. That verse goes well with the opening about seeking God's face. So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. So if you're laying up treasure for yourself and not rich toward God, he says you're like this fool that pulled down his barns and built greater. Jump down to verse 33 and 34. He says, Sell that ye have, give alms, provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens, that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I don't know about you, but some of my children, they have what they call their little treasure box, where they have little trinkets and things in, little things they found, you know, and they keep it in there and store it as a safe place where they know where they're at. But we can do likewise in heaven, and God's taking care of them, where they'll never be, where moth and rust never will corrupt them. And so here we have the first, from verse 13 through 21, we have a picture of selfishness. Verse 33 and 34, we have a picture of unselfishness. And then I'd like to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6 also and read verses 17 through 19. These passages are correlate to the ones I just read also. He says, Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. And so today, I would just like to make laying up treasures in heaven a very practical thing here, and share out of these verses here in Timothy, especially verse 18, what the scriptures teach us, how we can lay up treasures in heaven. And so verse 18 here, we're just going to go through each one of these here, and I have different scripture examples that we can use on them to make it practical. So we have here the first one in verse 18, that they do good, that they be rich in good works. And one thing I want to point out, you don't need to be rich to be rich in good works. You don't need to be rich in material things to be rich in good works. And so, for an example of this, turn with me to Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. And we see an example of a man who is rich in good works. It says, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, 'Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?'" So here's a man who wanted eternal life. He said, "Good master, what must I do?" He was seeking the face of God. And he said unto him, "What is written in the law? How readest thou?" And he answering said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself." And he said unto him, "Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live." And so he's asking him what he can do to have eternal life. And so Jesus proceeds to tell him here how he can lay up treasures in heaven by giving the next parable here. "But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?' And Jesus answering said, 'A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at that place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, 'Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee.' Which now of these three, thinkest thou, was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves?" And he said, "He that showed mercy on him." Then said Jesus unto him, "Go and do thou likewise." And so your neighbors are normally, you know, verse 27 and 28, he says, that he quoted the one of the Ten Commandments, love thy neighbor with as thyself. And this man asked, "Who is his neighbor?" And so your neighbors are normally the people you're around with, that you associate with. And those are normally the people who are considered your neighbors. The people that you meet up with along the way are the ones who are considered your neighbors. And it's your neighbors who you're able to practice your Christianity on. It's your neighbors. And so verses 34 and 35 here, we see that the Samaritan, he was rich in good works. He saw a need. He had compassion. He uses his resources, his oil, his wine, his beast, and he uses his time, and he uses his money. And so all these things, He's using these material things that God has given him. He's using to lay up treasures in heaven. And Jesus says, go and do thou likewise. Go and do thou likewise. He was not stingy holding back. Well, this is going to be costly for me to pay his way at the end for maybe a week. He did not look on that. But Jesus gives a simple, practical instruction here that this man used his resources that he had available to lay up treasures in heaven. And Jesus says, go and do thou likewise. I forget which verse it is here in the scriptures, but in the parable of the unjust steward, basically it's saying that our possessions, our money, and our material goods are a test to whether to see if God can trust us with the true riches. And so what we do with our material things is a test to see what God can do with this, if he can entrust to us the true riches of God. So look for opportunities to bless or help out and watch and look for needs. Another example, in Mark chapter 14, we have a woman here that she saw an opportunity to be a blessing and she wrought a good work. Mark 14 verses 3-9. Jesus here, it's close to the Passover in verse 3, and being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious, and she broke the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. Notice here, she just stored up a treasure in heaven. Jesus specifies she hath wrought a good work. And we notice the Apostle Paul wrote there in Timothy, rich in good works. So this lady just got done storing up a treasure in heaven. Notice verse 7, for you have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good, but me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the bearing. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of her for a memorial of her. Notice this good work was a treasure stored up in heaven. It's a memorial, and today, over 2,000 years later, we're still able to read of this memorial of her because it is a treasure that was stored up in heaven. She wrought a good work, it says. And I want you to notice in verses 6 and 7, it is good to minister to the poor and the lost, but I think sometimes we also miss the point that the scriptures teach that it's also important to minister to the saints and children of God. Because here Jesus says, you have the poor always with me. Sometimes we think, well, it is a right thing to minister to the poor. I'm no way, shape, diminishing that. But sometimes I think our emphasis, we miss the point that the scriptures also teach us that we should minister to the saints, the children of God. God wants the children of God to stay encouraged and to endure unto the end and to press on into the kingdom of God. And not to fall by the wayside. And so it's just as important to minister to the children of God, to each other, and the saints. Jesus says there, you have the poor with you always, he says. They're always going to be. No matter what age we live in, the poor are always going to be around us. You can always do that. But he says, but me you have not always. Galatians 6:10 says, As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men. Then it says, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Especially them, it says. So look for opportunities to bless each other. You know, young sisters, you can bless mothers that are busy by helping out a day. You can, you know, in ways like that, this laying up treasures in heaven. You know, my wife had a young sister already come and ask her if she can bless her for the day by watching the children, just to give her a break. And so that's doing good to the household of faith. And I'm just sharing these things. I believe laying up treasures in heaven is a very practical, attainable thing. It's not something that's way out there. It's attainable. If you have free time, you know someone that's behind in work, bless them. Maybe an hour or two to call them, bless them. Rich in good works. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 15. I beseech you, brethren, that ye know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. They addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints, encouraging the saints. Rich in good works, it says there in Timothy. Young men, look for ways to bless brothers and sisters. If we turn back to our passage there in Timothy, the next one on the list there, it says, well, I should back up, that they do good and that they be rich in good works. I just combined those two, that they do good. And the next one is ready to distribute. The good Samaritan there, he was ready to distribute. Didn't even think about it, but went right to work. The other two made sure that they got on the other side. But he was ready to distribute of his time and his money and his resources. He didn't wait on the planning committee or anything. He just went right to the work. He saw the need and went to the work. Romans 12:13 says, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. And so given, distributing to the necessity of saints. You see a need and you freely distribute, just like the Good Samaritan did. And it's laying up treasures in heaven, it says. Another example is Romans chapter 16. We have an account here of a sister. He says, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea, that ye receive her in the Lord as become a saint, and that you assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you. For she hath been a succor of many and of myself also. So here's a sister in the church that says she's a servant in the church. And Paul is telling people here at the church of Rome that they should assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you. And because she hath been a succor of many and of myself also. And I looked up this word succor here. It says it is a word of dignity, indicates the high esteem with which she was regarded as one who had a protectress of many. The Greek word prostatus was a title of a citizen in Athens who had the responsibility of seeing to the welfare of resident aliens who were without civic rights. Among the Jews, it signified a wealthy patron of the community. And so it gives you just a little insight of this sister's life, you know, according to the Greek word prostatus, that she would have had the responsibility of seeing to the welfare of resident aliens like Paul and others. It says she was a succor of many and of myself also. She was distributing of her goods to many, it says. And Paul says, of myself also. A sister laying up treasures in heaven, a servant of the church. Hebrews 6:10 says this, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love which you have showed toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. Notice, it says that God is not going to forget. Why? Because it's a treasure he's safeguarding. He's remembering it. He's remembering it. 1 John 3:17. But whoso hath this world's goods and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 25, verse 31. Very familiar passages here. Matthew chapter 25, verse 31. Talking about the return of Jesus Christ here. Says, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say, come, say unto them, unto his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And notice now, we're going to see people who had laid up treasures in heaven. For I was a hungered, and ye gave me meat. Notice, they took their material things and turned them and used them to lay up treasures in heaven. They gave them meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw thee we an hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? Notice verse 40. And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, insomuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Notice there, it says brethren, your brothers and sisters. How you have done these things to your brethren, that is laying up treasures in heaven. Verse 41, then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was a hunger, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick and in prison, ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw thee we an hungered? Same words, same answer from Christ. When saw we thee an hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. There was no treasure in heaven. There was nothing there for them. Absolutely nothing. And they went away empty and were cast out. And so our passage here in Timothy says, ready to distribute. When something's ready, you know, you line up children in a race, ready, set, go. You know, they're just on the chomping at the bit, waiting for that word go, right? You know, here it says ready. Are we like that? Ready, chomping on the bit, waiting, can't wait for the next one. You know, that should be our heart. Or is our life consumed with the cares of this life and the things of this world? Ready to distribute. Remember the parable of the Good Samaritan. The other two, they were not ready. The Levite and the Pharisee, they were not ready. But, you know, we got other things to take care of. We have, you know, if I touch this dead body, I won't be able to do my office here, duty in my office as a Levite for the next couple weeks because I'll be considered unclean. You know, because if I understand the Old Testament, if they would have touched a dead body, they were not. They had to go through a cleansing process before they were allowed back into service to do their service. Luke 18:22, Jesus says, "Yet lackest thou one thing? Sell all that thou hast and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Come follow me." He's talking to the rich young ruler. Another word for distributing is giving. And when I'm talking about giving and distributing, I'm not just talking about giving money, but a giving of yourself, giving of your time, resource, yes, money too, but ministering the word, a word of encouragement, a note. Romans 12:2 says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your body a living sacrifice." It's a living sacrifice. Turn with me to Luke chapter 6, verse 38, if you would like to. Jesus here says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again." You cannot outgive God. Again, I'm not just talking about your material possessions. That is, but I'm talking about giving of your time to the Lord, seeking His faith. You cannot outgive God. It says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you." Good measure. It's going to be pressed down. Picture a basket pressing down. Running over. It's going to run over. "Shall men give into your bosom? For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again." And so as you give, God's going to return it to you. Whether it's words of encouragement, whether it's ministering to the saints, God's going to give it to you again. It is more blessed to give than to receive. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul talks about this too. Verses 6 through 7, I'll read a couple verses there. "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he hath purpose in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." And the Greek word for "God loveth a cheerful giver" is the same word as hilarious, a hilarious giver. And so just ready to distribute, just freely give. Mark chapter 4, verse 24, "And he said unto them, take heed what ye hear, with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given." And so it's the same way, you know, as we take in the word of God and we hear, more is going to be given. And so maybe if you're feeling a little dry with the word and stuff, maybe we need to check our hearing. Maybe we need to do an exam of our hearing. Are we hearing God's word? It's more blessed to give than to receive. physically, mentally, be an encourager. Don't be a drain. Yes, there might be a time you need help, and I'm not talking about that. A drain is someone who has an attitude who everyone owes me everything. I deserve this. I deserve that. Don't be a drain, but be a giver. The more you help them out, the more they think you owe them. The attitude of entitlement. Ephesians 4:28 says you should work with your own hands so that you may have to give to him that needeth. And so be ready to distribute. You know, work that you have to give, it says. Back to our passage there in 1 Timothy. We'll look at the next one here. It says, willing. So we looked at doing good, rich in good works, and ready to distribute. Then it says, willing to communicate. We can lay up treasures in heaven by being willing to communicate. And I would like to run hospitality right alongside of willing to communicate. It's a perfect opportunity to communicate with people, to invite people into your home, to serve alongside of communicating with them. And I looked up that word communicate, and it means company, basically company. And so what do you do if you have company? There's communication that happens, right? Willing to communicate. And I want to illustrate what I'm saying. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Acts chapter 21, verses 7 through 11 here. Acts chapter 21, verses 7 through 11. Here's Paul on a missionary journey. And it says, and when we had finished our course from Tyre, we came to Ptolemais and saluted the brethren and abode with them one day. Notice here, they abode one day there. Verse 8, and the next day, we that were of Paul's company departed and came into Caesarea, and we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist, which was one of the seven, and abode with him. So the next day they went into Caesarea, and they entered Philip's house. Verse 9, and the same man had four daughters, virgins, which did prophesy. Verse 10 here, and as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. Notice there, verse 10 here, it says that they abode there many days. And then it says, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. So Philip here, he had four daughters, and I picture them, Paul and his company, I don't know how many were in Paul's company, but there was a group of them. It says Paul's company, they came into this house and they abode there many days. So these four young ladies, they were busy taking care of this company. They were probably cleaning. They were probably preparing meals. They were doing practical things, you could say, what many of us do today. But while they were doing this, as they were feeding them supper, as they were feeding them breakfast, these four young ladies, they were communicating. They were communicating what God was showing them in the Word, what they were reading, and they were encouraging Paul and his company. And you read in verse 10 that they got more company later, and so they were cheerfully doing this. And guess what? According to Timothy, they were laying up treasures in heaven. You know, we look at this, that they were prophesying. You know, the word prophecy has several meanings. It's foretelling the future. But also what I'm doing today is considered prophesying too in the Scripture. Just simply communicating the Word of God is another form of prophecy. And so that's simply what I believe they were doing. Paul them and his company, they were so encouraged by these four young ladies of ministering the word to them that they They wrote about it in the scriptures, and it's in here, and I believe they stored up treasures in heaven. And so I share this as an encouragement. Young ladies, you have the opportunity to encourage people in the Word of God to communicate and to just simply be an inspiration to brothers and sisters. Serving your family, serving the company, serving your community, your guests, encourage them in the Lord. You know, it's always a blessing when you meet a brother who has an inspiration, a nugget of truth, and he just gives it to you. And you just sense that it's, you know, that's a form of storing up treasures in heaven. That's what Paul writes in Timothy there. Having such a relationship with God that you just can't help but to speak those things you have seen and heard. Sharing the scriptures, willing to communicate, laying up treasures in heaven. Romans 12:13 says, given to hospitality. No better way to communicate with someone. Invite saints, friends, strangers to your homes. Hebrews 13 says, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. And what I want to impress upon you, you can take your material goods and turn them into something immortal. You can take your material goods and turn them into something immortal. Something that you'll be remembered by. Isaiah 55:11, back to communicating where God said, I'll just turn there and read that word. Isaiah 55:11, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. So here, communicating God's words, it's going to prosper into the thing where he sends it. Making a difference in someone's life. 1 Peter 4:9 says, use hospitality one to another without grudging. Do I have to again? Do I have to again, grudgingly? Or are you ready, chomping at the bit? Can't wait for the next one. Ministering to the saints, ministering to the poor. You know, dad and mom invite people over. Do I have to do all this again? Do we have to get ready again? You know, the Bible says, be not weary in well-doing. I know we get weary. There's times we get wearies. But I can serve. This is an opportunity for me to lay up treasures in heaven. I can serve them as kings and queens. What can I communicate like Philip's daughters did that would bless them and encourage them in their walk? How can I show an interest in their lives that will make a difference in eternity? Look at back to Timothy there, our passage, verse 19. Notice what it says here. Laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. What that verse is simply saying there, that you lay up in store a good foundation against the time that you die, that they, God and Jesus, may receive you into eternal life. Turn with me to, or if you want to, write this one down. I've written down here in my notebook. It's Luke 16:9. Paul's just reiterating what Jesus says. And I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, or you could say that when you die, that they may receive you into everlasting habitations. And so again, money is simply a test that that God's seeing if you, what you will do with it, to see if you're going to lay up treasures in heaven with it. So Again, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation. We read Matthew chapter 25 that the sheep there, they had laid up a good foundation. When they entered into the presence of the Lord, there were treasures there to show that they were laying up treasures in heaven. The others, the last half of that parable, they had none. It was, again, selfishness versus unselfishness. And so, using your resources, your material goods can be turned into something immortal, that they can be turned into eternal value, things laying up treasures in heaven. And so that's what I want to encourage you this morning, that there's many other things, but I just went through Timothy here and went through these three things here that Paul mentions, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. And I think as we read the parables there in Luke that Jesus gave, the parable of the Good Samaritan, the rich man who tore down his barn, Paul is actually communicating the exact same thing here that Jesus Christ taught back in Luke there. And so, I just want to encourage you that if, as you do a study on the book of Luke, you have most of the parables that Jesus spoke, a lot of them anyway, are around money and what you do with them in Luke. Luke wrote a lot more about those types of parables that Jesus spake. And so, again, lay up treasures in heaven. It'll be worth it. God bless you all, and thank you for listening.